Thank you, Bethany. So whoever's up there next Sunday, if I say thank you, Bethany, it's going to be just out of habit. But I don't say it just out of habit. I say it because I mean it. As everybody who plays a part contributes to the worship of the Lord. Since I wasn't here last Sunday, I know Thanksgiving is kind of behind us, but it's not really. It's still Thanksgiving weekend, and I wasn't here last weekend to give you a Thanksgiving charge. And if Caleb preached out of Philippians 4, I'm sure it probably had there was a theme of thankfulness there, maybe a challenge to be thankful. But I want to add my 2 cents worth from the scriptures on being thankful. This is in the context of a struggle that I've been going through. One of the things that Donna will tell you about us is that we're very different. I would tell you we're very different. The only thing that we agree on is the fact that we're both very opinionated, and our opinions are rarely the same on anything. And because of that, and don't get me wrong, I love my wife. I love my wife. And I know she loves me. But, I mean, I'm sure you all would agree that sometimes marriage is hard, isn't it? Marriage can be hard. And as we've struggled through some things over the years, one of the conclusions that I came to, one of the realizations that I came to, is that one of the problems and the reason that our differences create problems is because, at least in my, I can't speak for her, but at least in my account, in my case, my responses, my reactions, my actions are not controlled by the Spirit of God. I'm not walking in the Spirit like I should. I'm not being filled with the Spirit of God like I should. And I've been convicted about that over the last several weeks. And last week we were in service with Kathy and Darren, their family, and there was an occasion, something that made me go to Ephesians 5 and look at this verse regarding thankfulness in Ephesians 5:20 that tells me to always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And I got to looking at the context of that, and I realized that this command to always be giving thanks is in the context of what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. So not only are my responses or my reactions to things that are happening around me not Spirit-filled, but the thanklessness, the lack of thankfulness in my life is also the result of not continually being filled with the Spirit of God. So that's why I was challenged to come to this passage and to look at it for me and for my own needs, and then I'll just share with you from the overflow of what God's been challenging me with this. But let's read this passage beginning in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'd like to start with verse 15. It says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. The end of verse 18, that statement, to be filled with the Spirit, literally in the Greek text, is to be being continuously kept filled with the Spirit. And my friends, what I've been convicted about is the fact that that is the heart of the issue in the Christian walk. Only as we are filled with the Spirit of God, meaning we are controlled and moved along by the Spirit, to the extent that we are yielded to the Spirit and directed by the Holy Spirit, only as our lives are functioning in response to the indwelling Spirit of God, only then are we really living the Christian life the way God intends for it to be lived. We cannot experience the power of God or move in the will of God and know the fulfillment and the blessings of God unless we get a grip on that, get a handle on what it means to be continuously kept filled with the Spirit of God. Paul told the Galatians, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh?" Meaning, think about the work of the Spirit of God in our lives and bringing salvation. We are born again of the Spirit, saved by the Spirit. Do we think we're made perfect then through the power of our flesh? The answer is, of course not. So we ascend through the process of spiritual maturity and grow only as we are filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit. And if we're not living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, we're not making much progress. And it's only when we learn to walk and be filled, to be continually filled with the Spirit of God, do we experience the power of God. So we need to learn what it means to live a life yielded to the Spirit of God. I mean, if you look at the New Testament, all those great heroes of the faith, John the Baptist was what? Filled with the Spirit. Jesus, filled with the Spirit. All those chosen ones in Acts, I think chapter 6, men of God were what? Full of the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Peter on the day of Pentecost, filled with the Spirit. Paul, filled with the Spirit. That becomes the bottom line. That becomes the standard of our lives. The reality of yielding to the Spirit of God releases that divine power that enables us to live in the reality of God doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. How? Through the power that is in us, that Spirit. The problem, the challenge, the reason that there's not the filling of the Spirit in my life like there needs to be, and maybe you can relate to this, is because that filling only happens as what else happens? As there's a dying of me, a yieldedness of me, meaning self has died, self-will has died, sin is confessed and removed, and I'm living in absolute obedience to the Spirit of God. There's a contrast here in verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine, which is an excess, dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, don't do like the pagans do. Back then, they tried to induce some kind of communion with pagan gods by drunkenness. But we commune with our God. We experience the vitality of Christian living through our communion with God, through the indwelling Spirit of God, the filling, the indwelling Spirit of God. So this command is to be, it's a continual thing to be continually filled and kept being filled with the Spirit of God. And then there's consequences. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. There's the Spirit-filled person has a heart filled with joy, right? And it overflows with praise and song. But there's something else. Because that life, that person, that heart that is so filled with the Spirit of God and full of joy will also be full of thanksgiving, with thanks. Always, verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. A Spirit-filled, Christ-conscious, Word-filled, obedient, faithful Christian will give thanks to God for all things. A Spirit-filled person is one who is going to say, "Thank you, God, for everything." In fact, folks, it is impossible. It is impossible for us to be engaged in the worship of God and not be thankful. Thanklessness and ingratitude and worship of God, those are mutually exclusive things. Thankfulness, think about this. Thankfulness to God for everything . That's the ultimate crucifixion of self, isn't it? That's the essence of the crucifixion of self in my life. Thankfulness ultimately recognizes God as the source of everything. It's able to say in the midst of anything, good or difficult, God is to be praised. Thankfulness sees beyond the circumstances to the plan of God. It sees beyond the pain to the sovereignty of God, it sees God working all things together for them that love God and are called according to His purpose. It sees the hand of God, and it's thankful for the hand of God in everything. And the ultimate act of praise and worship is to say, "God, I thank you for everything. Even the difficult things." There's another passage back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that kind of helps us understand why this is so important. It's just a verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 where Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. He says, "For all things are for your sakes." How many things are for your sakes? "For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God." Okay, so all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause what? The giving of thanks. And the giving of thanks does what? It abounds to the glory of God. The ultimate goal, the ultimate reason for our existence is the glory of God. And the means by which God is given glory is our thanksgiving, and our thanksgiving is for the all things that He brings into our lives. So we glorify God by being thankful. And we are able to say, and should be to the place so dead to self in our lives that we are ready to say, God, I thank you for all things because I know this is for your glory. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how inconvenient it is, no matter how much of a problem it appears to be in my life right now. The ultimate expression of response to God for what He has done is thanksgiving. God has done what He's done so that we might be thankful to Him and give Him glory. And we can give Him glory because we recognize Him as the source of everything. And when we do that, we give Him glory. So that kind of sets the context for this instruction to always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. What's this verse telling us to do? Well, it's telling us, first of all, when we are to be thankful. Giving thanks when? Always. Always. Well, you don't know what my life is like. You don't know what my marriage is like. You don't know what my spouse is like. You don't know what my financial situation is like. You don't know what my health is like. You don't know what my job is like. You don't know what my circumstances in life are like. But Paul says, if you're filled with, be filled with the Spirit and give thanks. Always. Always. Because this recognizes God, that God is in control. And that God is trying to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ through all things that occur. And in those things, we glorify Him when we just say, thank you, God. It's the will of God. Verse 17 we read, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That 1 Thessalonians 5, this is the will of God concerning you, to give thanks. When God brings trial, we complain. We fret. We worry. Probably a lot of the content of might have been a lot of the content last week. You might be getting, you know, the second version of last week's message. I told you I hadn't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I will. And I might think, well, I didn't need to preach that. Caleb already covered it all. But when we do, we forget. We forget that all those things that we're always to be thankful for are the things that have been ordained to pass into our lives through the hands of a loving God, and they have a purpose. And that purpose is to mature us. That's why we count it all joy because of the trial, knowing that God's bringing about the maturing and the perfection. So we can be thankful to God that His work is perfect and everything that He brings into our lives is His will. So when do you give thanks? Always. And for what? All things. Always giving thanks for all things. Even the stuff that seems so bad. Even the cancer. Even the children that are difficult. Even whatever, put whatever it is in there. Put whatever it is in there in your life that is a challenge. Write it down and thank God for it. For all things. There's no limit to it. And the reality, folks, there's only one person, there's only one kind of person who can really be thankful for all things, right? And that's somebody that's just humble. Humble. The proud person is the one that says, I can't be thankful for this, or I'm not being thankful for it because I didn't deserve it. Doesn't fit into my plan for my life. And is that not just arrogant pride on display in us? When we look at the troubles that come into our lives and we can look at the face of God and say, why did you do this to me? I don't deserve this. It's pride. But the humble person understands that I don't deserve anything. In fact, I can be thankful that I'm not getting what I deserve, because what I deserve is condemnation and destruction. I'm a sinner who deserves nothing but God's wrath. So anything I get less than that is something to be thankful for. So the thankful person has a humble heart. Humility is a part of being filled with the Spirit, because there's a correlation between, or I don't know if it's a correlation, but certainly humility and Spirit filling go hand in hand, because humility involves the death of self and the denial of self so that the Spirit's filling can continuously be there in our lives. And to the extent that I raise up and take control, the Spirit's control is waning. So humility so if you're not thankful enough, and isn't that what we usually do around Thanksgiving? We assess where we are in our Thanksgiving scale and went, man, I need to do something to ratchet up my Thanksgiving. I'm reminded I need to ratchet up my Thanksgiving. Well, no, I don't need to ratchet up my Thanksgiving. I need to ratchet down the pride. I need to die to self. I need to be filled with the Spirit, because when I'm filled with the Spirit, my reactions are going to be different. My actions are going to be different. My life's going to be expressing more and more joy and more thanksgiving. Give thanks for everything. Always giving thanks for all things. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that tells us how we ought to be thankful. To give thanks for all things, always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, means that we're thankful in a manner that's consistent with who He is and consistent with what He's done. In other words, no matter what happens to me, I can give thanks because of who Jesus is and what He has done for me. No matter what happens in my life, it's going to turn out for my good and His glory. We couldn't be thankful for anything, folks, if it weren't for Christ. I'll put it this way. We might be able to be thankful for a few things. The world without Christ can still be thankful for some things, but the only way we'll ever be able to be always giving thanks for all things is because of Christ. If my life is in the control of Christ and I'm a joint heir with Him and His kingdom, and He's always interceding for me at the right hand of the Father, and He's continually cleansing me from all of my sins and conforming me to His own image. If that's going on in my life all the time, and it is, then folks, I can be thankful. But what gets in the way is my self-seeking nature, because I think so highly of myself. And when I don't get things the way I want them, I get upset and I get unthankful. That's not at all like Christ, is it? I mean, how many things didn't go His way from our perspective? Wasn't anything went His way. Yet He was thankful. Matthew 11:25, He said, I thank Thee, Father. John 6:11, I thank Thee. John 6:23, I thank Thee. John 11:41, I thank You, Father. He was thankful all through His life. And if you look at His life, you wonder why. He had everything in glory, and He left it all behind and came to earth and humbled Himself and became a servant. And He was scorned and despised and rejected and spit on and beaten and crucified, rejected. And He didn't deserve any of that, but what He was thankful. He was thankful. Think about this. He deserved glory, and He got humiliated, stripped and crucified, folks. He deserved glory and got humiliated. He deserved love and was hated. He deserved worship and He was rejected. He deserved praise and He was scorned. He deserved riches. He was poor. He deserved holiness, but our sins were laid on Him. And in the middle of it, He never lost sight of His thankfulness to God. It was for the joy that was set before Him that He endured the cross and despised the shame, right? It was looking to the end. Looking to the end. But look at us. How much more thankful would we be if we learned to look to the end and stop focusing on the here and now? Just think about us. We deserve to be completely humiliated, and what do we get in the end? We get glory. He deserved glory and got humility. We deserve humiliation and we get glory. We deserve to be hated and we receive divine love. We deserve rejection and we get adoption as the sons of God. We deserve scorn and we receive affection. We deserve poverty and He gives us riches. We deserve to be cursed because of sin and He gives us righteousness, the very righteousness of Christ. That's what we get. But still, in spite of all that, if everything doesn't go just like we think it ought to go in this life, what's our response? We complain. We forget how thankful we ought to be. When do we give thanks? Well, we ought to do it always. For what? All things. How? In the name of Christ. And to whom? To God, even the Father. To God, even the Father. That Father expresses the benevolent attitude of God. It's in His fatherliness that He bestows upon us the gifts of His love. It is God our Father that's emphasizing the benevolence of God towards his children. He's always giving us gifts. And how does James describe him? He's the father of lights in whom there's no variation, variableness, and shifting shadow. There's no changing. From whom every good and perfect gift comes down. Everything comes from him. Even the things that come through other people come from him. He uses people. We need not forget that. And when we begin to see God as the source of everything, we understand that he always knows exactly what he's doing, we're getting close to the perspective of Ephesians 5:20. If you're filled with the Spirit, folks, you'll give thanks. The Old Testament emphasizes this over and over. Psalm 30, Psalm 50, Psalm 69, 92, 95, 100, 105, 116, all over the Old Testament. And then Romans 1:21 describes the godless heathen like this. It says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they what? Thankful. But the instruction to us is to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Colossians 2:7 tells us to be thankful to God. Hebrews 13:15, lift up your lips and utter to God the praises that come through the giving of thanks, through thanksgiving. So, you know, we were running late for church this morning, behind the schedule I wanted to be on. And Donna said, we're human. We're going to run behind every now and then. My response was, yeah, I don't think there's anybody there that believes me to be perfect. I'm flawed, and they all know it. And I am flawed. And we're all flawed, right? And probably all of us need to focus on dying to self. Continually be kept being filled with the Spirit. Singing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much and we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your indwelling Spirit who longs to fill us and keep us filled. Lord, may we be willing to just die to self, crucify the flesh, and yield, surrender, and obey you, and be filled with the Spirit, and keep being filled, and stay filled, so that we can praise you, rightly praise you, and appropriately thank you always for all things, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Amen.